Now it's time for Tim Lammers with the movie reviews. Looking for some fun things to watch this weekend, our movie reviews are brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured, and you can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Tim Lammers, welcome.
Thank you very much, Kelly, and it's Friday. Of course, fun Friday, and it's always fun talking with you.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way. Someday we'll have to be in person together again. I'm hoping that'll happen
again,
one of these days.
Yes, I know. It feels like it's only been a couple of years, but it feels like decades.
It does.
It seems so long ago.
I know it.
So, new in theaters and streaming exclusively on the Peacock app is Halloween Kills, where the masked menace Michael Myers is back for more slashing and gashing after the 2018 version of Halloween. Halloween Kills takes place right after the events of the first film, and also on Michael's kill list, apart from Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, are the young people who survived his killing spree in the 1978 film. Meanwhile, the people of Haddonfield, Illinois, form a mob to hunt down Michael while Laurie Strode lays wounded in a hospital after surviving a vicious stab attack at the end of Halloween in 2018. I admit it, I was overhyped for the first Halloween film and didn't really think much of it. But with Halloween Kills, I went in with low expectations, and I was pleasantly surprised at how it brought the stories of several supporting characters full circle with subtle tips of the cap and other symbols in the Halloween franchise. The film is ultra-violent and gory, and true, it does get a little bit melodramatic at time, and it probably could use a little comic relief too. But from a storytelling standpoint, I was very impressed with how well Halloween Kills came together. Halloween Kills is new in theaters and streaming exclusively on Peacock. Facing an uphill battle against Halloween Kills this week is The Last Duel. It's another grisly tale of life and death that tells the true life tale of a knight played by Matt Damon, who is battle-weary in medieval France, and he forms a last duel to the death with his friend turned enemy, played by Adam Driver. The friend is accused of raping the knight's wife, Marguerite, played by Jodie Comer, while the knight is away at battle. And in the face of some political bureaucracies involving Ben Affleck's character, a count, Matt Damon's character asks for a trial by combat. But here's how the guilt and innocence is determined. If Jean wins, Matt Damon's character, Jean, wins, and he kills Jacques, it will be determined that Marguerite, his wife, is telling the truth, and the matter is over. If Damon's character is killed in the battle, then Marguerite will be considered a liar, stripped, shorn, beaten, and burned alive. While The Last Duel exposes the arcane attitude toward women and the flat-out ignorance and hypocrisy of French Parliament in the 14th century, it's an incredibly tough film to watch as well. The depiction of sexual assault is chilling and will stay with you long after the credits roll. The Last Duel is new in theaters only.
All right. The Adam Driver, was he the one that was in Star Wars?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
And not such of a good guy. Well, he actually turned good at the end of the Star Wars deal.
Yeah.
And he's back on the dark side for this one.
Yeah.
He's very good at that, Kelly.
Oh,
I mean, that's
gosh.
The whole thing with it. But yeah, I it's a tough film to watch just because we see this incident happen from three points of view. You know, this trial by combat actually does involve a sort of trial at first where there's testimony to determine if the trial by combat will even take place.
Okay.
These were real things in medieval France and probably other places. And this was actually a practice that ended with the events depicted in this film. But for this trial, we have Matt Damon's character testifying as to what happened. We have Adam Driver's character testifying, saying an assault didn't take place, but rather it was consensual, even though he was, roguish,
mm-hmm.
Because that's the way he said all, warriors were back then.
Yeah.
And then you get Marguerite, the woman who was sexually assaulted, testifying, and she leaves little doubt as to actually did it. The thing is that after her testimony, you realize there are no good guys in this thing, except for she's the only character that's likable in the movie. Everybody else is roguish, and even, you know, this whole idea of chivalry goes right down the drain with Matt Damon's character, because in his testimony, he leads you to believe that, oh, yes, I'm the knight in shining armor, I'm the good guy, when in fact, he isn't quite as bad as Adam Driver's character, but he's close.
He's close. Oh, my gosh. So it's one of those, I don't know. This reminds me of another movie that was really, really hard for me to watch, but it was more of a romance. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It was a fight with, I think, Mel Gibson with the long hair, and his wife gets killed, and then at the very end, they're like killing him, and he's screaming Ireland or whatever.
Freedom. Well, you're talking about Braveheart.
Yes. I love that show, and I can't watch it. It's like I watched it once, and I was devastated. I'm like, I'm still horrified by them, how they killed her, how he died.
They're just some films that just are unwatchable in you know, just because of the content. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the problem with this movie. I mean, it's directed by Ridley Scott, a prolific filmmaker, one of the best, really. So there's no question from a filmmaking standpoint that this film works, but the subject matter is just so hard to stomach. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like one of these deals where, okay, you know, I normally, if I don't have to, I'll avoid movies like this. Yeah. I think there's nothing more devastating and disgusting than seeing, you know, sexual assault portrayed on the big screen. I just hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. But, you know, it's my job to come forth and tell you about these films. So, unfortunately, I'm kind of stuck and I have to do it. And mm-hmm. you walk out and it's like, oh, my God. You know, you're torn because, again, if I'm judging it on its technical merits and the acting, et cetera, yes, very well done.
Okay.
But I don't want to see any of it. Yeah. You know?
I know. That's the hard part, right? And I guess they're mm-hmm. just going for the people that are just fine. I just don't know how people can watch that. And I don't think you're supposed to be comfortable. A movie's supposed to get you uncomfortable.
No, and that's the point of it, too. I mean, just again, I pointed out how the arcane rules mm-hmm. back then. I mean, it's maddening. It's like, my God. You know, women were basically treated like property.
Yeah.
I mean, even the knight's marriage to Marguerite was an arranged deal.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it just exposes that. And then there's the grand hypocrisy that goes with it all. It maddens you watching it. But it's educational as well, because it makes you realize, it's like, my God, we definitely have come away.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
Right.
I mean, with attitudes, but we're definitely a lot farther along than we were way back when.
Goodness sakes. Yeah. Sometimes some of the things I see in here, I'm like, oh, how could anyone have ever? Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this Peacock release of Halloween Kills. Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, that's so cool. Think about it. I've never really been into the horror movie thing, but I got to give credit to Jamie Lee Curtis, because whoever knew when she did that first one that this would be a lifetime career for her, and she keeps coming back. She's still there fighting him. You know, it almost makes you feel like, my gosh, this guy's been around our whole entire lives, this Michael character.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, yeah, he has. And, you know, the interesting thing what they did after that first Halloween film, they had 6-7 sequels,
I think,
you
so
know, where
yeah.
it just got to become just really kind of a, I don't want to say a joke, because people do love those films, but yeah, I mean, it's like, how many, it's like Die Hard, it's like, how many times, how many bad days can Bruce Willis have?
Yeah, it was the movie back in the day that basically all the teenagers went to the movie with their girlfriend, so the girlfriend would hug them. You know, that's
yeah,
what it was
exactly.
for.
Yeah, exactly. So what they did was they ignored what came after the first Halloween movie and went with this direct sequel in 2018, which I basically thought was, I didn't like it. I mean, I thought it was okay at best. And what they did with it was like, okay, it's just basically the same thing 40 years later. But this film, it's got a different feel to it in the way that they bring back these old characters, these original actors, actually, from this first film 40 years ago, who were kids then and obviously grown-ups now, and they worked them, you know, into the plot as such. And Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, she's more of a supporting character in this one, because Laurie Strode was gravely injured in that first film, at the end of that first film. So she spends most of her time in a hospital after an operation. And it's there that the hysteria builds, because Michael Myers is out killing other people and people are being wheeled into hospitals and this mob forms. And it almost feels like, oh my God, this is a reflection of, you know, post-COVID and built-up intensity and the hatred that, you know, you see online personified. It's definitely got this different feel of very cleverly timed, even though it wasn't meant to be that way, because mm-hmm. this film was done before the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
And delayed a year. Yeah, this film was ready to roll. And actually, there's another one coming, Halloween Ends. That's the one we're supposed to be seeing now.
Really?
But now we won't see that until next year. So, yeah. It was a big surprise. Now, granted, again, I didn't like the film in 2018, so I didn't have any expectations going in. I thought, just another slasher movie.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
I didn't take pleasantries. There were no pleasantries in seeing all the people getting gorily dispatched again. There's never that sort of thing. But as far as the storytelling is concerned, yeah, it was great. From a storytelling standpoint, it was a terrific movie.
Okay. Well, good to know. All right. So if we were going to pick one of these movies, it just depends on what you like. If you can handle the gore, you could see both of them. If you really can't handle that stuff that just seems too realistic, then maybe you want to stick with the Jamie Lee Curtis Halloween Kills movie.
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, that's going to be the big winner this week. I mean, The Last Duel, it's a 2.5-hour film. And again, you relive this story three times, you know, through different points of view. And it's an incredibly tough film to watch. Again, it's one of those that you leave, you feel divided as a critic because, again, you're supposed to watch it for different reasons, the merits, et cetera. But by and large, I'll pass on it.
Okay. All right, Tim. Thank you so much. It's Tim Lammers with our movie reviews brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant. Seeking justice for the injured. Learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. 10:30. You're listening to It Matters with Kelly Cords. It's 47 outside and time for news.